Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Well, welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is your host, Fred Shankleberg, and again, I'm joined by Carl Carlson. In the last couple of shows that Carl and I discussed was basically an overview and a little bit about the first step of setting, understanding the vision and getting started in building a reliability program. Well, let's bring this home a little bit. And one of the questions you may have, especially if you've just been tapped on your shoulder to say, hey, David, you're now the reliability engineer for our organization. Congratulations. And that may have been why you found our podcast, as you did a quick search to see what kind of references and resources are out there. So in that case, if that's your scenario, welcome. You're at the right place. Especially with this today's topic is, well, how do you get started? What do you need to do? You've just been assigned a reliability engineer. You've just been hired into the organization. You may have been there a very short time. You've got an idea of what the vision is for reliability. Somebody probably explained that as they said, hey, you're the reliability engineer today. But then what? You know, Carl, I'm sure you've been in this circumstance. I don't know if it's been more than once or not. I know I have. But how do you tell somebody what to do next? They're back in their office. They don't even have any files set up or a call list. What's the first thing they should do?
What's the first thing they should do? Great question. When I think back to one of my first assignments was on back when I was in vehicle engineering on a car program. I was assigned to be reliability manager. And I didn't do this. Let me tell you what I wish I had done rather than what I did do. What I wish I had done is talk to the chief engineer on my first day, talk to the various directors, and understand what their expectations for me was. Instead, I went about what I thought was the right thing to do without talking to them first. So an advice to someone that's new is early on the first day, sit down with people in management and listen to what their expectations are for you. And then that helps guide what you should be doing. Now, granted, their expectations could be wrong. In other words, they could be steering you to use MTBF or something like that.
Oh, heavens.
But it's good to know, yes, horrors, but it's good to know what the expectations are so that you know what your challenges are. If the expectations are good, then you can just go about it and you can plan your day. If they're mistaken expectations, then you at least know right at the outset what some of your challenges are.
Well, this is tough because my boss walked in. I was a manufacturing engineer in a factory, and my boss walked in and says, "We want you to figure out how long this new product's going to last." I didn't even know there was a field called reliability engineering. Kind of got thrown into the deep end, and it got started doing an accelerated life test design and it was a rather complex design of an experiment to determine this the age, the wear out mechanism for this product. And it was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. Well, my first question back to my boss at that time was, well, you want this to last for 20 years. In bridges in Italy, it was a snow melting device. It would heat up the bridge and melt the snow off. And I says, so does that mean I get to go to Italy for 20 years and see how well it works? No. He says, you get 6 months. So, right? I think part of it is, well, what are the questions you need to ask? So our two previous episodes or shows about the vision and how the big picture is and so on, and identifying where the gaps are is a good context for that first day. And as you said, Carl, it's well, what are the expectations? But I think there's a handful of questions you should ask is, well, what does reliability mean to our customers? Or why is this useful? Is it time to market? Is it customer satisfaction? It's like the actor that asks, well, what's my motivation? It's, why do we need to pay attention to reliability? Why does this position exist? Is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and let me just add to that and offer another aspect to this, which is, and I've got two thoughts coming to mind here, so I'll try to get both of them in fairly quick order. One of them is, I always try to bite off something that I can chew. In other words, take on projects and take on tasks that are doable in the time frame that you have. And one of the reasons I suggested talking to management, you may find out that there's a launch occurring on the widget in 2 weeks, and they have specific needs for design reviews and things like that from reliability that is very important to support what their needs are. However, there may be a new widget coming in the pipeline, you know, in a year from now or 2 years from now, and you can time balance to spend some time focusing, doing it right, doing design for reliability on that new widget project. So the understanding where, you know, where you are in the timeline, this type of thing. And the other comment there is what I'll refer to as the Sheward cycle. Plan, do, check, act, where Sheward advised years ago in the quality field, start small, plan your actions, do the actions, implement them in a small frame. In other words, don't try to do everything all at once. And then check what you do. Make sure you've done that smaller project well, and then act to broaden it out. In other words, do plan, do, check, act as a cycle of action, and then plan a little broader implementation, and then you do that one, and then you check that one, and then you act in going in ever-increasing cycles is another approach that I might advise to mm-hmm. a new person.
Well, it also, especially if you're new to reliability engineering, you may not be familiar with the range of tools or how best to adapt those things. And I know in our car, when we talked about it earlier, is that there are a lot of tools, and the job of a reliability professional is to apply the appropriate tools and tasks at the appropriate time. Well, if you're just getting started, that's a tall order. So this idea of, well, the PDCA, the Plan, Do, Check, Act, start with what's needed right away, and then build and learn on that, create your experience, research, and if you're listening to this show, that's wonderful. There's a number of other references and resources out there. But the idea is to start mastering the tools that you need today with an eye towards how you would apply those in the future. The other piece of this, and Carl, I think you've alluded to it, is that as you move along, is start building your credibility. You know, so if you're working on the most important things today, that helps others in your organization realize that, hey, this reliability stuff is useful. So if you can do looking at historical data from a previous product and saying, hey, look, we need to, if we improve the power supply, we get a, and it might cost us a little bit more, but it saves us money down the road by avoiding failures. Now, that may be a relatively straightforward data analysis exercise. It builds your competence with the reliability statistics and demonstrates to the rest of your organization that this tool can help them improve the product. and that you bring that to the table. So as you go through these cycles, as part of that check step is it adding value to the organization? Is it helping people reduce risk or make better decisions? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, great points, Fred. And I particularly want to resonate or to agree that whatever you do, do it well. Get successes, build credibility, keep your integrity in place, and you'll gain support thereby as you do the PDCA cycle. Another comment I want to make for a new person is, particularly if you're not well trained, and if you come in with a master's in reliability engineering and you understand the tools, that's one thing. But if you're new in the position and you don't have a lot of training, it's so important to spend some extra time. And this might be time outside the job on your own, or if you can carve out the ability to take some classes, it's important to get trained and educated in the tools of reliability in a reasonable amount of time. There's a wall of confusion, so to speak, if you're new. And one of the ways to overcome that is to make steady progress on improving your knowledge capability, your knowledge and capability on reliability.
It never ends. One of the things I in my consulting practice is I get introduced to all kinds of different technologies and situations and customer expectations, and just continue to learn. And there's a lot of great professional development resources out there. Carl and I are going to be doing a tutorial along the lines of what we're talking about in these shows at the Reliability and Maintainability Symposium. At least I think that's what that acronym stands for. It's at rams.org. It's usually the last week in January. And it's in Tucson, I think, this coming year. So I'll add that link down into the show notes. I think we've got to the end of the month, Carl, to get our tutorial written and posted up to their website. We have a long lead time to get papers in there and stuff, but we've done it a few times before, so it's just a tweak and adjust on this particular round, so it's not too bad. But yet, getting to a conference, I think about a third of the people going to that conference are people in your situation, if you're new to reliability. And it's got a bunch of tutorials, it's got a bunch of great papers, plus you get to meet people that have a wealth of experience you can draw on, and you can find other people in a similar circumstance as you and share notes and get support from each other. So it's a great conference in that regard. So, Carl, I think we'll wrap this one up. And it's a topic that, I mean, we outlined it. Again, we'll probably come back to some of these same topics or issues of how do you implement a program step by step and simultaneously building your own credibility so that you can move your program forward, you can achieve the results that the team that put you into this position expect you to do. But I think it's one of the key or important things is to take it step by step and build and continue to learn. So what do you think, Carl? Is this a good spot to end today's show?
Yes, it is, Fred.
All right. Thanks, Carl. All right. Well, we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.